You're listening to Real Facts on Real Estate with Sean Patrick Maloney.
This sounds good.
Welcome to episode 23, Time Management in Real Estate. I'm your host, Sean Patrick Maloney. Thanks for joining me this week. Time management is important in every business, no matter what business you're in, because at the end of the day, we all have the same amount of time. It's just a matter of what we do with it that really makes a difference in our life. Everybody has the same 168 hours a week, which if they're sleeping 8 hours a night, it's 56 hours of sleep. Working out on the regular, probably 5 hours to work out, and then another 14 hours spent either cooking or eating. So that leaves us with 93 hours left in the week to decide what we're going to do with them, whether we're going to take time off, whether we're going to spend time at work. I know forever everyone has been taught that there's a 40-hour work week. I actually wrote a blog a long while back called The 40-Hour Myth, just talking about how unrealistic a 40-hour work week is and also how unrealistic it is to have of expectations on your life where you're going to feel like a failure if you're only working 40 hours a week because you're never going to get to the places you want to get to. And usually when you're working 40 hours a week, you're working marginally maybe somewhere in the realm of like 30 of them, because between taking extra time off to take breaks, taking time off at the beginning and end of the day to get started and finished, when you look at it, you're really not working that much and you're also usually not working that hard. I know people all complain about being tired and all these things, but if they looked at their actual life, their workouts, their food, their sleep habits, it's all shit and it's not really their job that's killing them. It's themselves killing themselves to get to work on time, but it isn't really works getting them up early. It's really just they're getting up late. So obviously, you know, in our industry, real estate, we spend quite a bit of time working. It's actually an industry where I tell people all the time, your best bet is to get used to taking random time off instead of thinking, okay, I'm going to be Monday through Friday, 9 to 5, just really having an open schedule where on a Tuesday afternoon, you decide to take some time off because you know on Sunday afternoon, you may have some showings or you may have some clients that need you to work on their file or whatever you got going on for your real estate business. But at the end of the day, most commonly in real estate, our clients want to work after standard hours, meaning that we're going to have to work after hours, which shouldn't be a big deal in your mind, but a lot of people let it be. So one of the first concepts I want to talk about is time blocking. If you're unfamiliar with what time blocking is, it's where you actually take a specific set of times and you set them to do a specific set of tasks. Where this really comes in big is in any real estate business, the most important thing to be doing is lead generating. And unfortunately, far too often, everybody in the real estate industry tries to deal with the clients that are right in front of them right then, and they don't worry about getting more clients during those times because they think, I'm trying to help my existing clients, which just leads to a cyclical cycle where constantly the person is going from a ton of deals going to no deals going to a ton of deals going to no deals going, and it's because they're not time blocking off their time in order to make sure they're doing the right thing. So when you're doing time blocking, you really want to lock in some of the more important tasks to the day, which would be lead generation, follow-up calls, marketing, sales, existing client retention, and then working your circle of influence. So you definitely want to include those in your week. You don't need to be doing every one every day, but you should definitely be doing some sort of lead generating behaviors every single day in at least 2 to 3 hours a day. And I know that sounds like a lot to a lot of people, but honestly, if you're not doing it, it's the reason you're not a top performing agent. I hate to say it the way it is, but it's the truth. Look at your habits and look at what you're doing and look at your results. You know, failure to change is accepting the fact that you're going to fail forever. You just really need to get in there and do those things like the time blocking. And when you're doing time blocking, the thing about it is to make it actually work is you actually have to follow it. So a lot of people say, I do time blocking, but then their phone rings and they pick up the phone and they sidetrack and they say, well, I had to deal with that. You have to get into a lifestyle and a habit where your time blocking is regimented, because we've gone over in the past and we've talked about multitasking. There is no such thing. When you're flipping back and forth from one task to another, there's a ton of lag time down in the middle. There's a ton of wasted time. And then a lot of times you take the phone calls over the important thing you're doing. You know, everybody always does the same thing. We all look at what work sucks the most and we try to avoid it the hardest. And the reality is some of the things when it comes to lead generation and lead conversion, they're really challenging mentally to stay focused on, but the focus pays off when you are doing it. So just make sure when you are doing time blocking that your phone, your Facebook, your social medias, all the other things are out of the way, which segues me right into the next subject, which is social media time. Social media time needs to be productive. Far too often people are on there watching funny stories, looking at cute kittens and doing all sorts of stuff, which don't get me wrong, it's great, but that needs to be your socialization time. That needs to be your off time. You need to look at that no different than you would look at, I can't go swimming right now, or I can't go to the beach, or I can't do this. You can't do that crap at work. You can't be sitting there reading and sniffing into other people's lives and trying to be a busybody and find out these things. If you're on social media, you need to look at your return on investment. You need to look at what you're actually doing and what it's returning. Because if you're sitting on there supposedly working and making all these posts, if nothing's coming from it, then you need to stop and think about, what am I doing wrong? And how do I take my time while I'm using social media and maximize it? Some of the suggestions that I have is to do more posting on your business page and to stay away from your personal page while you're on there. Stay away from socializing with friends while you're on there, and really just focus on the business thing. One good thing is to just take your messenger and mark it as you're not available. That'll slow down the amount of overall inbox type items you're getting from other people. I know in regular jobs where you're not commission-based paid, it's common to just sit there and waste time. And I think that that's where this comes from. I think it comes from the mentality of office-based time, where, you know, you're trying to figure out how to make 40 hours work for the week and just try to make it work for you. Remember, everyone in real estate, we're working on commission. So going in and wasting time, it's literally just wasting your own efforts. So we want to think about everything on terms of return on investment. Return on investment is a commonly used term where we're looking directly at how much we spend on marketing versus how much we get out of it. But in your return on investment strategies and equations, you really need to take in, how much time did it take me to do this and how much money do I earn per hour? And look at these return on investments, because sometimes you'll find that you make way more money an hour than the person that is very, very good at what you're doing, like, say, putting together a mailer or doing other admin level work. And you're sitting there, you're stuffing envelopes, you're sitting there making these different things like follow-up calls, when you could have a closing coordinator, when you could have a different person like an online digital assistant, or you could have a company that you just load in the overall CSV file and they send out the mailer. You need to prioritize and look at your return on investment on everything, because in business, you're always out there re-engineering the wheel. You're going to end up putting yourself in a really tough place. And a lot of people do it. They actually invent entire strategies and systems that already exist and have been done better a million different ways, such as something like a social pilot or other things, where they're going to post for you on all of your websites and all of your social medias versus you going and manually posting on every single one. But in general, you really just want to think to yourself, what does it cost me to buy this service and what is it going to give me? At the beginning, when you have no money and you have nothing going on, a lot of this is going to be legwork. You're going to spend a lot more time working. But you need to front load it and really actually spend that extra time. Out of those 93 hours, maybe you dedicate 70 of them to work. I know they say, oh my God, oh, that's so much to do. Well, don't you think that you'd like to have time off later on in life? Don't you think that you might like to have time to go golfing, or the money to do so, or have the plans to take travel and things like that? Dedicating yourself at the early part of the stages of the business save yourself from having to dedicate the time in the later stages. Let's go over one of the next subjects when it comes to time wasting. Texting and emailing. People act like it saves time all the time, but the reality is, to have a long drawn out text message conversation actually takes quite a bit of time versus making a phone call, where within 14 seconds you've sent about 300 different texts, if you actually did it text wise, and you've covered the entire topic. You've also gotten past things and you've never gone forward after talking on the phone and made a mistake, whereas in text and email, sometimes people say things and they read emotionless and you're not quite sure what it means, so you make actions and then there's reactions to those actions, such as having a home and you have a home inspection and you write an email to the agent saying this needs to be fixed instead of calling them. And the way it reads is like you're not saying that this needs to be fixed like as in your client's going to do it. You're saying this needs to be fixed as in their client needs to be doing it. And there's just little things like that, little single words that get left out and stuff, which lead to big wastes of time. So remember, when you're trying to save time, phone calls usually a great one. And then with phone calls, you got to think, if I'm going to be traveling a lot during the day, I will print things off my computer like listing sheets and other information sheets like that, so that when I get out of work and I'm going on my road from place to place, I'm there making my phone calls. That way I'm doing two birds with one stone. You live in a state where you got to wear a headless device or Bluetooth or whatever. I think it's available in all cars. And nowadays, honestly, when it comes to your phone, the overall speakerphone is actually pretty unbelievable. Everybody's phone comes with headsets. There's a lot of different options to that, so I don't want to hear excuses of, I'm in a hands-free zone, or driving and talking is dangerous. Well, grow up and learn how to work. You know, Stop blaming things that are untrue. I know you just want to sit there and listen to your radio stations. The other thing that those times can be used for is training. Training like this. You may even be doing this right now. You're in the gym, you're driving, you're listening to a podcast, and you're training. That's maximizing your time. Sitting there and putting filth into your mind by listening to different music and how great it would be to be off and thank God it's Friday and all these other things, that's not growing you and not growing your person. When you're spending time doing things like that, just like I said on social media, same thing that applies with a movie or going out kayaking or anything, you need to look at listening to the radio and watching TV as a choice to have fun, not as an obligation, so that when you're in the car 5, 10, 20 hours a week, which some of us real estate professionals legitimately are in the car all the time, you're wasting your time sitting there listening to music, and then you complain, geez, the radio only plays the same things all the time. No, you listen to far too much radio, and now it's on repeat mode because you're spending your entire day in the car. Why not just move that time into, okay, I'm going to put in an hour a day, not even a big commitment, but 1 hour a day into audiobooks, or 1 hour a day into listening to podcasts that are about growth and development in my industry, and I'm going to actually take that stuff and put it to practice. That's a big one to check in with. Next down, let's talk about some things real estate agent specific and also kind of throughout the industry, really. But really, I want to just talk about a few things like driving checks around. Driving to another area to drop a check off is pointless in the world of the digital era. We can now send a check via email and it can be there. And the agent or the other person you're working with confirms that they get it and says, okay, it's not a problem that I mail it. Then you're in good shape. I always say get a digital confirmation. Make sure that the person that you're sending it to has confirmed that they're accepting that method and that they're going to be waiting for your mail, and then also get a digital receipt that they got it. It's important because, you know, in a world where we are mailing checks, I do think it's very important to make sure that we're confirming that we locked in the offer or we locked in the purchase and sale agreement and that that check is confirmed. Another one is going to home inspections. So as a real estate agent, going to the home inspection is important for your buyers. But for your sellers, when you go to the home inspection, you're not there for anything other than to get in the way. The home inspection takes longer because now you're going to be chatting with the people. And overall, you get to hear about everything that's wrong with the home in an estate, say like Massachusetts, if you attend a home inspection and something comes up, now you need to disclose it to the future parties. Even though it's just the opinion of a home inspector, his opinion is valued higher than your opinion in the state. So once you hear it, you got to disclose it. So why not just let the buyer's agent go there, do the home inspection, and then get back to you if they think that there's anything they want to fix. And when they do say, I'd like you to fix some things, have them only send you the specific pages that you want. First, you don't have to read a 70-page information sheet. Second, you don't know about things that don't matter to that buyer. Third, you're going to be able to take it and go over it with your client in a lot less time. When you give your client a 70-page document, guess what they want to do? They want to talk about everything. Even though the buyers are not asking you to correct it all, they want to go over, well, why is the guy's opinion on my chimney that it's in disrepair? Or why is it that he says that I have water in the basement? I don't have water in the basement. And the next thing you know, you're going down all these different avenues and you're spending all this different time with them in order to calm their expectations. And then they're like, well, what if this person falls off? And what if that, what ifs in the world are one of the biggest wastes of time? What if it didn't happen is the question when they're what if and what if, what if. And that's the reality. As human beings, we, and I talked about this just a few weeks back, might even have been 2 weeks ago, I was talking about the negative bias that we have in our minds and just the fact that we spend so much time. And this is the great spot to think about that. It's like, we're going to spend so much time preparing for the what ifs versus the what's if we're going to the home inspection. Because when I go there, I listen, I'm like, oh my God, oh, here's all this stuff. I can hear it coming now. But if you never gone to that home inspection and they only sent you over a list of 3 items, would you know there was 100 things wrong? No, but by going to that home inspection, you now know there's 100 things wrong. So for the next 2 days, you're freaking yourself out, thinking. Well, guess what? When you're thinking, your mind isn't doing other things. I see people try to do this double thing, like listen to the radio and read at the same time or all different things like that. I see it everywhere. And at the end of the day, they are fooling themselves. At one point, you're focusing on one thing. At another point, you're focusing on the other thing. And when you're bouncing back and forth, you're not focusing on anything in between. So the dangerous part of that is that you're spending so much time focused on killing the deal that the deal ends up dying because the focus is on there and the focus isn't on keeping the deal together. And the wasted time that goes by is not out there spending time making sure you're marketing the property, making sure you're chasing after things so that if it does die,
you're ready to go from death back to a full out deal and ready to accept your next offer, you're sitting there spending time worried about what could happen. Let's go to the next one, accompanied showings. Accompanied showings are just borderline rude. When you go to the showing and the person wants to go there with their buyer's agent, they don't want to have you there accompanying the show and telling them to look up when they should look down and telling them to look right when they should look left and telling them, oh, and this brand new granite countertops, as if they can't see that there's brand new granite countertops. And I know what you're thinking. Oh, I'm a salesperson and I owe it to my client. You owe it to your client to stay out of the way. That's the truth of it. Accompanied showings take at least 2 to 3 hours of your time. And that time could be used to spend chasing after other clients, working with other buyers, working with other sellers, working on your marketing back at the office, working on so many different things. But what it shouldn't be is following somebody around like a little monkey, just reciting back things like, a little, you know, you're just there. Okay, I'm there for them and I'm going to watch over their house. If you don't trust the people that you're setting up showings with for your clients' homes, then how do you trust working with them? You're about to work in a multi-$100,000 deal, but you're afraid they're going to steal a snow globe off the person's TV. I think if they're stealing snow globes, they're in a different industry. And don't get me wrong, you need to protect your people's things when you're inviting strangers into the home. But if you're working with industry professionals and you're not one of these hack jobs that just texts over, yeah, go ahead and don't even check that I'm actually an agent. I have that happen all the time, like where they say on the MLS listing, please text for showings. You text them, hey, this is Sean Maloney, I'd like a showing. And they just send you the lockbox to somebody else's house. Don't be that agent. That's, again, another time where you want that phone call. And again, this is saving time versus wasting time. And how is it saving time? By creating more tasks? We're saving time by making that phone call because we're not there with the cops later on when the house is missing everything. And we don't realize that by doing this text-to-type thing that we're all doing where we're just talking back and forth without checking in on things, we're avoiding issues. But again, accompanied showings, huge waste of time. You're going to spend a ton of time driving back and forth, and chances are you're actually going to lower your offer ratio. Another one that's great as a real estate agent, and actually really throughout the entire real estate industry and all industries alike, is digital signing. Digital signing is great because you don't actually physically have to go get the signatures anymore. But one of the things I'm going to warn you is it leads to robo-signing. Robo-signing is when a person just goes and they just robotically sign and they don't actually read the document. If you noticed when you're in DocLoop, DocuSign, or any of these other ones, it immediately, once you click get ready to sign, it actually jumps the whole entire thing right to the signature paragraph. And when you hit enter, it takes you right to the next one. There's been lawsuits in time about this because of the fact that the person said they never felt like they had the right to read over the document. Explain to your clients how they do it. How if they go in and before they hit let's sign, they can read it. Also explain to them they're going to get copies and explain the documents to them. Don't just send them to them and say just sign, because you're going to find that they're going to not read any of it. And this can be a long-term problem for you in time management. This could be one of those things where, geez, but Sean, I told you so long ago that XYZ, and you're like, no, you didn't. It says right here in the contract that that happened. And they're like, oh, I never even read it. I'm sorry. I didn't realize that you thought that I was going to keep the TV and everything, and I told you that I wasn't going to. And now you're sitting there arguing with another agent about a TV that through method of annexation was screwed to the wall, should have come with the house. Seller didn't know because when you went over everything, you sent over a listing agreement digitally, and on the exclusions line, they thought it meant like excluding things that, you know, like the countertops or something like that. But the reality was it's supposed to be things within the house that maybe assumed to be there are excluded. So with digital signing, save the time, but also make sure you take the time to spend the proper time explaining over contracts, and always, always, always say to the client, please, I know that I'm a professional. I understand what I'm doing and I understand your best interest, but please proofread everything that goes out through me, because God forbid I made a mistake. I don't want the mistake to be on all of us. I would love for you to proofread what I've sent over today and let me know if you have any questions whatsoever. That way there you're covered. They can't possibly say you put something in wrong. They can't say you did it wrong. You can sit there and wait. It doesn't take that long, but the good thing is you don't actually have to drive to them. You don't have to go meet with them to get that. The next one down let's talk about is doing everything. And again, it's a jack-of-all-trades mentality. I'm going to put in the sign. I'm going to do my own photography and all this stuff. When we're talking, you only have those 93 hours, and you're talking working 70 or working 40 or whatever you're working, and you talk about doing something like photography, a lot of agents go, well, I can just go over there and I can just poke a couple pictures out with my cell phone. Yeah, if you want your listing to look like shit, you can do that. And the reality is, to do actual photography is not just taking the photo. It's coming back and putting it through filters and putting it through the rendering and making sure that the photos are the right size and making sure that the color schemes are right and making sure that it's not over or underexposed and just doing the overall editing of it. Just like installing your signs. Installing your signs isn't just putting a sign up and down. It's making sure it's properly stored in between. It's hanging it up on the shelves. It's getting it ordered. It's all the different things that go into putting in a sign. It's not as simple as just go and put in the sign. It's a huge waste of time. There's companies out there such as Sugar Mountain and a lot of other ones that'll go out there and put your sign in right there for you and totally save you a bunch of time. Same thing with, there's a lot of programs out there that you can use, computer programs, when it comes to editing, when it comes to making photos, videos, all these things. Get used to using tooling and get used to the return on investment mentality. If it's going to cost you an hour of your time and you're going to save $50 to put up a sign, are you worth $50 an hour? That's a question you have to ask yourself. Of course, getting off the ground when you got no money. Time is money. Money is time. Vice versa. Big bang, boom. You're there. You got to make sure that you're paying attention to that. Because of the fact that if you spend too much time on other things, you'll never have time to grow. And eventually you'll say, yeah, but I'm doing it all myself. And then take a look at your numbers. Look at how quickly they're growing. The last one that I want to bring up today really quickly, and we'll go over this at another point in another podcast all the way, but don't be afraid to outsource and hire into you. Make sure that when you're ready, you're building the business to grow. In the field of dreams, they say, if you build it, they will come. That statement is very true when it comes to business. You can't always say, I'll build it when they come. You can't always say, when people show up, I'll get more going on. Sometimes you're at a limiting factor you don't realize that you're at. Usually somewhere between 4 and 7 million in sales in real estate is a point in a life where a lot of people get so busy that they don't feel like they can take on anymore. That's when time management becomes even more important, and that's when it's almost time to start hiring another person, whether it be a showing agent or an admin, that can take you to that next level and save you time. I look forward to talking to you guys next week. Thanks so much for listening to the podcast. If you have any ideas for future episodes, please reach out to me directly through PM, DM, email, text, whatever works. Make sure you go on Facebook, follow the group, Real Facts on Real Estate. It's going to be a really great group, all free training, lots of free events. Make sure you're there, check out the interviews, watch the live videos, watch the other videos, and make sure to contribute. Invite some friends. Talk to you next week. Thank you all. Have a great day.